Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. We're continuing our discussion on what it takes to create and maintain a vision for your organization. Today, we will focus on the importance of casting your vision convincingly. First, we'll listen to a portion of one of Andy's talks entitled, Making Vision Stick. Afterwards, Andy will spend some time unpacking this idea a little further.
Number two, you got to cast it convincingly. Now, I want to talk for a few minutes about how to talk about your vision. And I'm not simply talking about your big state of the church address you do once a year, twice a year, where you get out. This is part of that. But again, in your children's ministry, here's how you cast vision. In your student ministry, with middle schoolers, with parents, with your groups, anywhere you're standing up in front of a team and saying, here's what we're trying to do, this is a model to use. And I didn't make this up. If you've read Visioneering, then you know where I got this. And when we first started the church, I did a 14-week series, which I don't do this anymore, didn't know any better, did a 14-week series on the book of Nehemiah. And from that series, wrote the book Visioneering. And when I was studying the life of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah showed up in Jerusalem and the walls were torn down and his heart was broken, in about a verse and a half, he cast a vision for rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. And when I read that, I thought, there's the whole package. There's the whole deal. And so I began trying to integrate that pattern into the way that we do everything around here when it comes to casting vision. You can use this when you make announcements. You can use this when you try to get people to attend an event. Anytime you're up and in your mind there's a vision of what needs to happen, here's a pattern. So this is good at the macro level, the micro level. This is good when you talk to your kids, honestly, as you'll see. Anytime you're trying to get people to move in a direction towards something that you have in your mind that you can't show them a picture of yet because it's all about the future, here is the pattern to use. Casting it convincingly. The first thing is, letter A, is define the problem. Your vision is the solution to a problem. Your vision is the solution to a problem. If your vision is not a solution to a problem, then it's not probably much of a vision. We're in the business of trying to solve problems. Here's what I wrote in my notes. Let me just throw this out to you. What's the problem your vision is designed to solve? That's a great question for your staff to wrestle with. What is the vision? What is the problem, rather, your vision is designed to solve? What must be done? What must be done in the environment you find yourself in? What must be done? What must we do? What must be done in the environment we find ourselves in? This question's got some emotion attached to it. What would go undone if your organization ceased to exist? Would anybody in your community even miss you? Didn't there used to be a church there? No, I think it was a movie theater. I don't know, something used to be there. It's gone, it's just a piece of dirt. What would go undone? What would go undone? What would go undone? What wouldn't happen anymore in your community if you ceased to exist? As you wrestle with those three questions, you're going to begin to discover what is the problem that we have come here to solve. And Nehemiah stood up in front of the people. He said, look, we are a reproach to all the surrounding nations. They look at us and they go, what kind of God do you have? I mean, our God's awesome. Look at our city. Look at your God. Your city doesn't even have a wall around it. We are a reproach to the rest of the world, and we're supposed to be a light to the Gentiles. They're laughing at us. That's a problem. That's a problem. We need to solve that problem. We sure do. What is the problem that your organization is designed to address or designed to solve? The reason that some of you have some great ideas and you pitch them to your deacons or your ministry board or, you know, to your senior pastor pitches it to the staff. One of the reasons that your great ideas don't get any legs and people aren't energized around them is you present your idea before you present the problem your idea is designed to solve. That if there's going to be any emotional energy around your good idea, if there's going to be any emotional energy at all, you've got to present the problem that your vision is designed to solve, because your vision is the solution to a problem. So before you craft this really cool statement or do any of that, you got to ask the question, what is the problem we're trying to solve in our community? What is the problem our church is here to solve? Because in that discussion will be the energy and the emotion necessary to come up with the second part of vision casting. But when you get up to cast vision, present the problem. Present the problem. Present the problem. That makes people lean in, makes them interested. I wrote in my notes, before you offer solutions, you must help those you are leading feel the weight of the problem you're attempting to solve. When we stood up and cast vision for North Point Community Church, you know, we're about to start another church. And anybody that had driven any more than 3 or 4 miles away from their home knew there are plenty of churches in Atlanta. So, Andy, let me get this straight. You and your team are going to plant a church, and that's because Atlanta needs another church? No, that's not the problem we're trying to solve, because that's not a problem. And if I get up and talk about, hey, we're going to start a new church, come give money to our church, the average person's thinking, why would you start a new church, Andy? Just go work at an existing church. I passed 6 churches to get to your meeting about starting another church. In fact, Andy, come on. I've been to 4 or 5 churches around here. They're half empty. So why are we going to buy a piece of property and spend a bunch of money, you know, creating another church? So when we stood up there that night to cast vision for North Point Community Church, the vision wasn't Atlanta needs another church. Everybody knew that wasn't true. Our vision was Atlanta needs a different kind of church. Our vision was that, you know, about 60% of the people in these communities don't go to church anywhere. And they know all about church, and they pass churches every Sunday and decide not to go. And there's a reason they decide not to go. It's because they don't want to go to that kind of church. So we're going to create a different kind of church. Will you please help us create a different kind of church for all the people who choose every single Sunday not to go to church? Because obviously another church like the same churches and all these churches isn't needed. We don't need another church. We need a different kind of church. We're going to solve the problem of the unchurched. That's what we're trying to do. We're going to create a church that unchurched people love to attend, a different kind of church. Because the problem is, we're in the Bible Belt, and most of the people around here have just written church off. We've got to solve that problem. Well, folks, that's the same problem in your community. It's a problem all over this country. It's a problem all over Europe, for sure. Churches everywhere, you know, cathedrals everywhere. Now they're museums. Now you got to pay to go in during the week, but nobody goes on Sunday. That's a problem. That's a problem. You present your vision as a problem that needs to be solved. And letter B, second part, is you offer a solution. Offer a solution. Your vision is a solution to a problem. Now, if you want to do something kind of interesting, the business world understands this totally. Go to Google and Google business solutions. And the last time I checked, there's over 500,000 things that popped up. Business solutions, because businesses understand they must present themselves as a solution to a problem. Not just something else to do, not just someplace else to go, not just something else to eat. Businesses understand that they've got to convince people, you have a problem, we can solve it. We are a business solution. You have a problem in your business, we have a solution. What do? We are a solution to your business problem. Well, you know what? Come on. Our product, aren't we a solution? I mean, Jesus didn't die on the cross just because, hey, you know, it's a solution. We are a solution. So consequently, our vision must be presented as a solution to a problem. You know, Jeff Henderson's done a great job at keeping us focused on this organization-wide. He came in one day, he said, you know, we figured out there are a little over 300,000 unchurched people. Was it 10-mile radius? 10-mile radius of Buckhead Church. 300,000 unchurched people. So I thought, I wonder how many there are around North Point. About 170,000. We figured out how many there are around Brownsbridge Church. So it sits in my office right now. You know what our problem is? We got 3 really cool churches. They're full. People think we're the coolest church in town. But you know what? Wait, there are 300,000 unchurched people in Buckhead, within 10 miles of Buckhead Church. Now, if our vision was to have a cool building and a full church, you know, mission accomplished. You know, pat ourselves on the back. But if our problem was people don't go to church and people need Jesus and the church is the hope of the world because the church is the instrument through which God reaches people with this incredible message, then we still have a problem to solve. We're not done. We're big and we're successful and we do a great job and we have an awesome staff. But we're not done because the problem is there aren't enough churches. There aren't enough, you know, containers for the people who still have not integrated church into their weekly or biweekly or, you know, They're bi-weekly. That's twice a week? No, every other week. Which one? Every other. Good. You don't want to go twice a week. We grew up doing that. That was too much. Okay. We just 4 times a month is all we ask. Okay. Anyway, but the problem is, you know, those kinds of numbers are daunting, but as big as we get, we realize we're not even big enough. Not because we want to be bigger, but because the problem is so massive. So you got to define the problem. Then you have to present your vision as a solution to a problem, offer a solution. Then see. Is explain why and why now. Why are we doing this? Why are we the ones to do this? And why do we need to do it now? And I love, again, read Nehemiah. Nehemiah stands up and says, look, the walls are broken down, we're a reproach. What's the solution? Duh, we gotta rebuild the walls. And why do we need to do it and do it now? Because God has given us favor through the governor, and he's given us the timber, and he's given us the money and the opportunity to do it. The problem is the walls are torn down. The problem is we're a reproach because the walls are torn down. The solution is we're going to rebuild these walls. And you know why we're the ones to do it and why we need to do it now? Because God has given us his favor. He's given us this opportunity, and he's given me favor in the eyes of the king. We have the resources to do it. We are the ones to solve this problem. When you get up to talk to your children's ministry staff, student ministry, middle school, volunteers, staff, church, whoever it is, what is the problem we've come together to address? How are we a solution? Why do we need to do something, and why do we need to do it now? What is the problem we've come to address? What is the solution God has given us, and why are we the ones to do it, and why do we need to do it now? And the answer to why us and why now, that's the compelling, motivating reason. Because God has gifted you, and he's put you in that community, and he's given you that piece of real estate, and he's given you this chance, and he's given you that opportunity. I'm telling you, as you begin to take those three ideas and craft those into some sentences that fit your personality, your communication style, even if it's written as opposed to verbal, you have the makings of a very, very compelling vision. Again, whether it's at the macro level or even departmentally within your organization. So in my notes, I wrote this. This may be in your book. Position and present your vision. Position and present your vision is the solution to a problem that must be addressed immediately. Addressed immediately. And folks, that never, ever goes away. That is all the time, because vision doesn't stick. Vision leaks, and we need a constant reminder.
Andy, the first step you suggest in casting a compelling vision is to define the problem. In fact, you said a vision is the solution to a problem. And then you went on, this is great, the reason your great ideas don't get any traction is because you're giving answers to questions no one's asking.
And I think as leaders, we fall into this ditch over and over and over because we get excited, it's clear to us, and then we get impatient, and off we go, and you know, we're 4 miles down the road, and the people that we want to follow us are like, what? You know, I remember 1991, 1992, somewhere along in there. It was the first time I went to Willow Creek, right. And I was working at a Baptist church. We were working there together, and a couple of us went up to Willow, and it was like, oh my gosh, you know, here's this church, and they're reaching unchurched people, and they're doing everything different. I mean, everything was different. And so, of course, we thought, well, we need to do this in Atlanta. So we came running home, you know, and we had all these incredible ideas, and we were just so excited, and we were going to change everything. And none of our ideas got any traction. And it was this issue exactly, because the people in our church loved their church the way it was. They weren't aware that anything needed to be changed. In fact, compared to most churches in the area, it was the best church in the area. We were trying to solve things and answer questions, and they didn't think anything needed to be solved, and they didn't have any questions. And so consequently, all of our energy went nowhere and nothing changed. And then we were discouraged and thought, you know, what the heck, why even try to do anything? And I think there are a lot of leaders listening today, especially church leaders, who again come to Drive, our Drive conference, visit other churches, get great ideas, appropriate ideas, things that need to be implemented in their organizations. But because they don't cast the vision the right way, their vision goes nowhere. Their ideas gain no traction.
Right. And you go back to this whole idea of a problem. We lose sight a lot of times of the fact that we encounter the problem every day.
Right.
I mean, we live in the problem, and yet these people don't.
Yeah, and in church leadership, this is so true, because we're in the office every day. We get the emails every day. We're aware of things that need to be changed. The average person in the average local church, they're in the building 2 hours a month.
Right.
Or, you know, they attend twice a month. They put their kids in, they leave, they get in the park, and their problems, their issues, the things that need to be changed in their life are out in the community, in the marketplace. So they don't feel what we feel. And so when we come up with new ideas, they look at us like, well, why would you want to do that? I didn't even know we needed to change anything.
Yeah, you made this comment. Before you offer solutions, you must help those you are leading feel the weight of the problem you're attempting to solve. Now, you gave the example of going to Willow and coming back and trying to convince, and that was a few years ago. What's a more recent example?
Well, it's an interesting time to ask that, because both of us have a recent example. Because as the campus pastor at Brownsbridge Church, as campus pastor at North Point, we're about to lead or try to lead some people to bring about a change on both of our campuses. And very few people on your campus especially feel the need and know the question that you're about to answer, because you're going to want to build children's space.
Right.
So you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people on your campus who don't drop kids off into those overcrowded spaces, or they don't drop them off the hour that they're overcrowded. Right. And so in a couple of weeks, you're going to stand up and say, hey, we need you to give money to create space. And most of the people sitting there are going to think, we do? Yeah. We need space? So my point is, every single Sunday, you and your staff feel the need, feel the crunch, are aware of the overcrowding, are shuffling kids around. So you're feeling it every week. So to you, it just makes perfect sense. Well, yeah, we need to raise some money and build some more space. But for most of the people at Brownsbridge Church, they're going to be like, we do? And so the challenge for you is, how do I make them feel what they need to feel so they'll be compelled to follow me in this idea? On our campus, we need to build a bridge. We only have one access point to this campus, as you know. And we have more seats and more parking than we have infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody who attends North Point knows that. But everybody who attends North Point on a regular basis has learned to deal with that. They know when to get here. They know where to park. They know how to get out. And even though it's not comfortable, they've learned to deal with it. So when I get up in a couple of weeks and talk about we need to raise a lot of money to build a bridge to have a second access point, their thinking is going to be, well, yeah, that'll make things more convenient, but we've learned to deal with it. Right. You know, Andy, you feel all this angst about it, but, you know, we've kind of learned to deal with it. So my challenge then, like yours, is to cast a vision to say, you know what, the problem is not that you can't get on the campus. The problem is it's impossible for you to invite anybody to this campus. And we have empty seats and empty parking spots, but when you can't invite your friends because it's too complicated. So again, I've got to help our audience, like you've got to help your audience, feel the weight so that they'll take seriously our answer to a question that honestly most of them just aren't asking. And that's the challenge with casting a compelling vision, is helping an audience or a group feel what we feel so they'll see what we say is an answer to a real problem.
Yeah, when you talk about that whole idea of making people feel the burden or feel the problem, we were having a discussion with the Brownsbridge leadership team the other day about how we're going to cast this vision, and I had written some stuff, and one of the things is talking about how our children's space is overwhelmed, and a couple of the guys were like, you know, I don't know if we want to say overwhelmed, that sounds kind of negative. I said, it is negative.
Yeah.
There's pressure.
There's a problem we're trying to solve.
I said, if it sounds bad, that's good, you know, because it's like, we got to make them feel the burden.
Right.
You said, that's obviously the first part. The second part, you said, is to offer a solution. You said, a vision is a solution to a problem.
And this is the part vision casters and leaders love to talk about. This is the thing we just think everybody should go, oh, that's a great idea, because the vision is a solution. We need a new children's area. We need a different kind of communication style. We need more parking spaces. We just think we should be able to say it, and people should say, that's a great idea. Let's fund it. Let's get involved, and let's volunteer. So this is really the easy part. The difficult part is making people feel like what you're about to say is important. And then the third part, again, is the part we leave out, because again, as leaders, the solutions that we think are solutions and the answers that we think are answers, we've been thinking about these things a long time. I mean, this isn't new to us, and we forget it's brand new to our audience, and they need some setup, and they need some follow-up.
Right, which leads to that third part, which is asking those questions or helping them ask those questions. Well, why do we need to do this, or why do we need to do it now?
Right, and that's the third part of vision casting, answering the question, why us and why now? The reason this is important is most of the problems that our visions address have been problems for a long time. When we talked about, let's create a church unchurched people love to attend, well, there's never been a church in this area unchurched people love to attend. There aren't any churches around here unchurched people love to attend, so why are we doing it?
Yeah.
And why are we starting a new church? I mean, there are plenty of churches in Atlanta. Why us and why now? In our case here with parking, we've been working around this parking situation, you know, for almost 12 years. So why all of a sudden do we need to raise all this money? Why all of a sudden, you know, why us and why now? So I think at the back end of the vision casting process, it's not enough to say, here's a problem. It's not enough to say, here's a solution. I think this, if the leader is honest, this is the part where the leader is able to say, here's what God has done in my heart. Here's why I can't rest until we do this. Here's, you know, for such a time as this, because of who we are, because of what God has done, because of the opportunities, because of the wealth, because of whatever, we really feel like this is a unique opportunity, and God has given us this stewardship of opportunity, and we have to do something with it. I think this is where the leader has to ask him or herself the question, would I be willing to do this with or without their help? Is this something that's such a compelling reason for me? It feels like a moral absolute. Not to do this for me is to disobey God. I think this is the part, or this is the place in vision casting that the leader, as honest as they can, says, here's why I feel like we're the ones to do this, and this is the time to do it. With Nehemiah, the king had financed it. He had this opportunity and this relationship with the king, and he was able to say to the people in Jerusalem, hey, this has been a problem for a long time. Yeah. The reason it's now and the reason it's us is God has given me favor in the eyes of the king. This opportunity may never come along again. We are the people to solve this. So I think there's that component in every God-ordained vision, and the vision caster has to figure out what that is and then figure out how to talk about it.
Right. And remember the fact that although we feel the burden every day because we live in it,
right,
our people almost become invisible to it. I mean, it becomes invisible to them.
It does. Again, in Nehemiah's situation, they didn't see those torn down walls.
Right.
Torn down walls were all they'd ever known. Yes. But somebody drew attention to this age-old problem. Here's the solution. Here's why we're the ones to fix it.
Yeah, it's that pile of junk in the corner of your bedroom that you never notice. And somebody walks in and goes, oh, what do you have of that stuff over there? Because you live with it.
Yeah, you could walk into my house and immediately see everything wrong with my house.
Yeah.
I don't see it anymore. I've learned to live with it. But if somebody were to buy my house, they would come up with a quick thing, list of things they need to fix because they see them that quick. They become invisible to me. And so when we cast vision, we're casting vision, as you just said, to a group of people to whom the problem is probably invisible. They've learned to live with it, and they've learned to work around it.
Yeah. And in our case, church being considered irrelevant by over half the population was just nothing new.
No, in fact, the church was for church people. So if people aren't church and want to come to church, they're welcome to come to church. But the whole idea of creating something that actually had unchurched people in mind, that was new, and that wasn't a problem that anybody felt like was a problem in our community. And the reason we know that is somebody would have addressed it by now. So again, Atlanta didn't need new churches. Atlanta needed a church that was designed around unchurched people. So we couldn't just get up and say we're starting a new church. That's not the solution to any problem. In fact, that might be a problem. There's so many churches. But to say we feel like there's a problem in Atlanta in terms of there aren't great environments for unchurched people, our vision is a church that unchurched people love to attend, and here's why we think we're the ones to do it, and here's why we think this is the time to launch that kind of church.
Yeah, and that just takes us all the way back to the beginning, that vision always begins with a burden.
Right, because our burden, starting way back in student ministry, back in the Growing in Grace days, back in those early days in ministry, our burden was, what about all these people who don't know our Christian language, who don't know the songs, who walk in and feel a little bit alienated, who aren't dressed right? We felt that burden and didn't feel like we would ever be able to address that in our current context. And so that's what drove us to launch a new church.
Well, Andy, thanks so much for taking this time to talk through this very compelling and important idea of vision and how to cast it convincingly. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time as we continue our discussion around making vision stick.
Hi, this is Andy Stanley, and if you've enjoyed these conversations about vision, I want to tell you about a resource that I think will help you and possibly your entire team. It's a little book called Making Vision Stick. And in this book, I take the five elements that we're discussing in the podcast, and I talk about them in greater detail. And we've heard from churches all over the country that taking this book and working through it as a team has allowed them to spend the time they need on the topic of vision to help clarify their own vision. Making Vision Stick is available at northpointresources.org.